welcome to the qualifying round edition of Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And this is just great. I don't know about you, Syl, but well, I do know about you. But when you said it's Christmas for hockey fans, it is Christmas when you have hockey from 12 noon through to, well, now it's actually past 1 in the morning now, because they're having these late games that are going, they're starting at 10:30, which I wish they'd push it back a half hour. That helps. But yeah, I'm loving it. Hockey all day long. And what's got me even more pumped for today, today's game 3, we're just to let you guys know, we're doing this special recording for the playoffs and or qualifying round. And I'm pumped up because I just watched the blueprint on Facebook. If you want to go to our Facebook page, check it out. And yeah, it's got me pumped up for game 3. So
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm definitely going to use that as my hype video because, yeah, I'm excited to watch that as part of my game day prep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And my game day prep too. I'm wearing the exact same thing. My yoga pants and my Marner jersey. There you go.
All right.
Marner's
she is ready, folks.
I'm ready. Yes. Yeah. And what are you ready for tonight? Or we'll get to that later, maybe.
Yeah. So basically how we're going to break this down, we're not going to follow our usual schedule or usual program. We're just going to give our impressions about the first two games so far as we saw it. We will discuss the Muzzin injury and the impact that's potentially going to have on the game, and also look ahead a little bit to game 3 and what we have in store for tonight's matchup. So without any further ado, let's get on with the show.
Okay, so let's see. We've gone through games 1 and 2 now. So game 1, what went wrong in game 1 versus what went wrong in game 2. In game 1, I thought were pretty good. I don't know, I mean, it was very, very subtle, the differences, I guess, from game 1 to game 2.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is a loss versus a win. But yeah. It was otherwise, it's like a razor thin edge of difference. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the star, obviously, we were missing out on game 1, the star players, some of them. Auston Matthews was perfectly fine. He was fantastic. He's a beast. I mean, I looked up some stats on him. So in both games, considering he's going up against Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has a pretty good face-off percentage, he has face-off percentage in both games of 54%. So he's winning over half of his draws, which is really good. Tavares is actually at 70%, which I thought, wow, I don't know who he's taking the draws against. I didn't check that, but I was like, that's awesome.
He is a master of that. Yeah,
but I just thought, obviously, it was in game 1, it was like Marner, Tavares, and even Willie weren't that great. It was different in game 2. Those guys brought it in game 2. And then you called it, Syl, in game after game 1, you said... Yeah. The line combinations were the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of felt like in game 1 for me, even though they played a really great defensive game, it was different than the type of defensive game that they kept referring to that we played against Tampa Bay. I thought that they were in game 1 a little too tight still. We were kind of trying to play Columbus's game as opposed to our style of defensive game, which I think is a little bit looser. They needed to loosen up a little bit so that they could get their offense clicking a little better. And like you said, I kind of felt like the adjustment that needed to be made going into game 2 was that they needed to flip Nylander and Marner so that Mitch would be playing with Matthews and Tavares with Nylander. And I kind of just felt like that would get Marner a little bit more out of his head because they throw stuff around together so much That I think that they don't have to think as much when they're together. So I, for some reason, I thought that that would make a bit of a difference. And I really feel like Nylander can create with anyone, and somehow he's able to find Tavares really well, so that he can get the puck in the center of the ice a little bit. And I mean, obviously, I guess that was evidenced on that breakaway, although I don't know if Nylander was had anything to do with that. I can't really remember. But yeah, that seemed to make a bit of a difference. I thought Freddie was great in both games, although in that first one, you know, it was sort of like one of those situations where there's that one that gets in, which I'm not saying that that makes him have a bad game, but it's just sometimes there's just that one, well, which you'd like to see stopped, right?
I don't know for how long, but Freddie's now has a save percentage of 0.981, so he's on top of the league in goalies now. Yeah. But so I don't know. I'm not worried about him. And
you know, you could argue that the second game was a harder game for him to play because he didn't get as much action. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I really felt like we totally dominated that game from start to finish. We were good defensively, but not as tight. And I don't know. What did you think? What did you feel was the biggest difference in game two?
In game two, I mean, I was worried after the first period, actually, in game two.
I know, me too.
Because Korpisalo, again, that guy, I don't know how they're going to, I don't know. He might get tired tonight. Like, who knows? Yeah. Maybe Torts will pull a fast one on us and put that Merzlikins in tonight.
But you never know
with him, right? Because this guy has been he was just pelted with shot, like quality chances. Like even in game one he was, but
I know. I don't know. Like, mind you, one thing I did notice, especially in game because I was working, so I listened to the game two. But when I watched all the highlights, is there's like five white shirts crowded around him. Like they block everything. Like they all collapse in around the goaltender. So chances are not much is really getting through even though they're getting good quality shots off, like the quality, once it gets to him, I'm not sure is that great anymore because it's gone through so many people. But
yeah. And actually it's
amazing that,
yeah, with the block shots, what you're saying, like that's where I think with the power play, that's where it's not, that's why we're not scoring. Connecting basically on the power play, because they're blocking so many of them. There's so they have on the power play, they definitely have to figure out, because they went 0-for-5 on the power play the other night. They were it was the first game, actually, there wasn't that many penalties at all. It was just,
no, there's only three.
Yeah.
It was the lowest out of all of the first games.
Yeah. Yeah. And generally that's the way it goes with us because we're the least, what is it? How do you word it again? The least, not least penalties.
We draw the least amount.
Yeah. We draw the least
amount. Not actually, like Columbus draws even slightly less than us.
Yeah. So, but the block shots definitely are something that we got to kind of look at. Cause like, I mean, Tyson Barry too on the power play, like he, I don't know what that guy's thinking when he's going for the shot and he sees the guy right in front of him. Like, do something, like deke around him or like, don't just shoot it right at the guy.
That's kind of what I was thinking gonna say, is that I really think that for that, like we need to be a little bit more mobile and adjust on the fly a bit more to get better body position, because I think we're kind of going to our spots, but we're not really trying to get it, because they need somebody in close. Like I think they need to get like Tavares, like they used to do, remember when they would get Tavares in tight to the net and try to get some kind of chipped in shot from there on a weird angle. Like I think that's kind of how you're gonna have to try to get some kind of garbage power play goals that aren't as pretty. Because I know that we're probably in agreement, I would like to see Riley on the first power play unit. I don't know why Barry still keeps getting this chance, because he's not converting anything. So I don't know.
I don't know about that. But I mean, in game two, at least, obviously the result was much better. We got the, and I think
it was total domination.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like Nylander played well, like you're saying, with JT, and they were able to make the quick passes, like to get out of the zone fast sort of thing. Yes. And to break down that, I don't know if it's a neutral zone trap, but they have some, Tortorella has this defensive system that's kind of like layers is the way it's described, sort of thing, right? So they were able, by moving the puck fast, they were able to, I guess, not allow them to set up those layers, the defensive side of it.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Like, we have to transition much faster than we did in game one. I think in game one, we seemed to kind of get bogged down in our end. And game two, for sure, we made sure that we got out quicker so that we didn't get stuck there. And the other thing that I liked is one of the things I wanted to see from game one to game two was basically switching Engvall in and Gauthier out, because Gauthier seemed a little slow, and they did end up doing that. And it gave the fourth line a little bit more time. And we saw that huge hit by Clifford was
that set the tone
yeah.
right away. That was like, I was hoping, oh God, no suspension. I mean, the guy has only played 4 minutes at that point.
I know.
And is like 3 minutes from game one and then like going into his first shift in game two. But no, it was a clean hit. And the guy, I think his name is Kukin, or I don't know. I forget what the guy's name is, but he's not playing tonight in game three. Mm-hmm. I heard that. So there's probably something lingering from that. But so it was great. But the only, I guess, damper on it was at the end of the game with Muzzin. And that
is such a freakish thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a big loss. I don't think it's, I think he's actually possibly okay to play. Like, I think...
Yeah, but he's quarantined now because he had to leave the bubble.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
I don't know. Like, I disagree with the fact that, you know, just because you went to the hospital, then you've broken the bubble. Like, I can attest to the fact that hospitals are like, you're not going to find much cleaner spaces. And he's not like he's hanging around in a merge with all of the, you know, regular common folk. He's basically taken right in to a private area. So like, I don't really think that he would need to be quarantined or that he would have been exposed to much. And there's not a lot of COVID right now in the hospitals. So
yeah,
that would not count to like, as to me, as kind of a community exposure necessarily. Yeah. But
I think
anyways,
he has
the rule.
I guess as per the rules, I think he has to go through four days of testing.
4 days.
With four tests, I guess, to say that they're all come back negative. So,
it's probably better for him to not come back too quickly anyways.
Yes.
Because you never know. Sometimes if it's like a concussion or something to do with their neck, with a whiplash type of thing, sometimes those things can rear their ugly heads a few days later. So I think it's probably best. I mean, it's not best for us on the ice, but best for him. So,
yeah. And speaking of what's going to be on the ice, how do you think the D is going to look? Because basically it looks like Dermott, it's good, I guess, like Dermott and Hall apparently are going to be playing together, right?
Reunited and it feels so good. Because they played together in the Marlies. I'm not worried about that part. I think that they can do a good job. Although, like, Dermott is not a replacement for Muzzin because they're a different type of player. So that's going to be a different looking pair, not the same style of, like, kind of, like, quote-unquote shutdown pair necessarily. I think it's going to be more mobile, you know, get the puck out of the zone type of situation with them. I'm a little frightened about the Marinson thing. I wonder if they're going to, it's interesting. Like, I've been kind of playing with this in my mind, whether they should dress an extra defenseman or not.
Apparently it's a possibility, but Keefe is not
saying. Thinking about that.
Keefe is not, he said he's not going to announce the lineup until like the game time, whatever the they release the game time, then they'll let them know if they're going to dress Sandin as the extra defenseman.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if they do that, then at least, you know, you've got you're going to have probably Marinsen in more defensive zone situations and Sandin in more offensive zone situations.
And Marinsen, I guess, will do the it's the on the PK too. I mean, I got to
admit, he's good on long that long stick.
Yeah, is everything right? So hopefully that'll help. And then Sandin can plug in there on the offensive side
of it. The whole thing is, I would say that it can work as long as the roles are very specifically defined. And they basically hammer it into their heads that this is what you're doing and do not go out of this box. This is what you're doing. That is it. And I guess probably it will be what Marinsen and Barry together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that makes the most sense.
Because do not put him, don't put Marinsen with CeCe. That's just like,
oh no,
disaster waiting to happen.
Although CeCe did play better. He played better in game two. Right?
He did, because again, like it's with him, it's all about not playing outside yourself. So that's like definitely a situation where be specific. This is what you're allowed to do. Do not do anything outside of that. That's it. You know, like Riley is the one on your in your pair that does everything. You're just his support person. That's bottom line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So. I don't know.
It's going to be tough with obviously without Muzzin, but there's also that factor that's not on the ice, like just the experience factor too, right?
Because
he's won the cup. Him and Clifford are the only two that have that experience to say that they went all the way. And
And he's not even allowed to be there at all because he's quarantined. So, God, I feel sorry for him. Can you imagine having to watch that from your hotel room? I feel bad for him. Oh, well.
I guess he will. Yeah. But what do we expect? Okay, so we're recording the afternoon of game three. It's coming up in a few hours at 8 o'clock. What are we expecting for game three?
Oh, well, I'm expecting for sure that Columbus is going to come out. Obviously, Torts is going to have an adjustment, and I think they're going to come out really pounding us from the get-go. Like, so I think it's going to be one of those games where you have to survive the first 5-10 minutes for sure.
Yeah. Did you see Tortorella screaming at Dubois on the bench? That was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
Oh, no.
Because I heard about it because I think Joe Bowen or Jim Ralph said something that, he's really tearing a strip off Dubois, but I didn't see it because I was... That game time did not work at all for my shift time, so...
It was hilarious, though. But, so you were thinking, get out of the first 10 minutes?
Yeah.
With the bruises, basically, probably.
So basically, and I think we have to stay out of our end as much as possible. Because they're going to try to get the first goal. I think they're going to push for that a little bit more because I think they realize in the second game, like the first game, it worked for them to kind of basically sit on it, not try to score because that's not their MO. Like they basically are a wait and capitalize on your one mistake. They're happy to win a 1-0 game. They've basically won the most one goal games, I think, this year. So they're happy to get away with one late and then, you know, wrap you up and make it hard for you to score. So I think scoring first again will be difficult. Keep them out of their comfort zone. I don't know. Anything else that you think? Like, obviously, Freddie's going to have to be great again.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. Just like we haven't mentioned Austin Matthews at all because we're not worried about him at all.
No, and he's been incredible. So
I think everybody else has talked about him, can talk about him enough, even his fashion statements.
That's true. We did not even talk about him. And obviously, we have not seen the best from Mitch yet. So
yes, that was my point. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he has to. He was better in game two. But he definitely can take it to another level. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And the other thing I think for game three is that the third line is going to chip in. I just have a feeling Kapanen is going to he's ready to do something. Somebody said today on Twitter, I saw they think that he's going to have a fight, like that he's get, that's mm-hmm. what he's going to do. He could do that, but I think it's better that he gets on the board.
Right. Yeah. But sometimes when he fights, those are the nights he gets on the board, because he gets kind of this head full of steam and he's a little bit pumped up. The adrenaline's going. What I'd like to see is one of his end-to-end rushes where he just flies down the one side and just, you know, cuts in and scores. Remember his very first playoff? When he got in towards the end of the season against the Capitals? Yeah, man, that was a breakout year for him. I would like to see a little bit more of that Cappy again. I agree with you that line, they've gotten close so many times. So
yeah, one of them should chip in. They've been pretty good, actually, that line.
And
so it could be either him or even the kid, Robertson.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Like that one on the doorstep that he almost got. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah. I think it was in game two. Or was it? I don't know if it was game one or two. Anyways, where like he's a shooter and he was... Mm-hmm. He shot that, he fired it like three times. It kept coming back at him because the idiot Columbus player in front of the net kept blocking the shot. And he wasn't, I guess, moving like to be like, creative. He didn't want it. So he just kept banging away at it. And he eventually, I think Korpisalo stopped the third one, I think it was.
Yeah.
Maybe. But Kerfoot, like they were saying, Kerfoot was like wide open, like banging his stick sort of thing. But the kid would not pass it. He would, because he's a shooter.
Shoot.
It was hilarious, right? But so he could do something too. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, just you need to watch the blueprints sort of thing. That'll get you going.
And, I'm definitely going to watch that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna prime myself up.
Yeah, and Sheldon Keefe will get you going. It's all about Sheldon Keefe in the video.
Yep.
And tonight we got the Raptors dressing room, so that's exciting. Yeah. I'm excited about
definitely the winning vibes. They just got to rub themselves up on everything. So
just find Kyle Lowry's stall there and just kind of get that bulldog mentality sort of thing, right? With kids,
exactly.
Right. And But we also want to remind everyone here that about our first anniversary contest. So you want to give them, the details.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as we said last time, like we've already have a few entrants, but we are going to give you guys a chance to win a $50 e-gift card to celebrate our first anniversary, which is in September. So between now and then, we're going to keep giving you chances to... enter the contest. So all you have to do is follow us on Instagram at LTL1917 and like our post and tag two friends, and that will give you an entry into our contest. And then we will randomly draw from all the people that enter and announce the winner in our anniversary podcast in September. So that's all you got to do. So we will once again post that. So look out for that. That's about it. That's all you got to do. So come on, listeners, get on board and claim your entry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be... If anyone knows who I am about contests, you better be entering those contests, right?
Yes, Christine's the contest guru. So.
Yeah, I can't enter this one, unfortunately. But
I can't win
this.
No.
But it's going to be a fun night tonight. I don't know why, but I have this feeling it's going to go into OT. Not that I want it to.
Yeah, I feel like that too.
But, and that's where Cappy comes in, because he's always the OT guy, right? Like he scored for the Finnish team, the OT winner. I just think it's might be going into OT, but we'll see how it goes. And it's been fun doing this, actually. For a change, we're doing it week to week, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. And we'll be back again next week, because we need to do a preview of round one of the playoffs, the actual
playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on that note,
As always, we want to thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And keep listening and giving us your feedback. You can find us, as we said, on Twitter and Instagram, and also newly on Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page there, so you can find some things there as well. And in the meantime, all we have to say is go Leafs,
go!
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save